Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're listening to the most fraudulent F1 podcast with Dan, a.k.a. Engine Mode 11.
I secretly moonlight as Helmut Marko at race weekends.
And Blake, a.k.a. Brake.
Echo chambers of farts and idiots on Twitter after races.
It's the Engine Breaking F1 podcast.
Boom. Get it up, yeah. Contrary to popular belief, we have not been cancelled and deleted off the internet.
Yeah, not yet, at least. They have been trying, and we can feel the dark forces working in the background, but we're fighting them. Welcome to the Engine Breaking Podcast. I'm your host, Blake, a.k.a. Brake, and this is Dan, a.k.a. Engine Mode 11, hashtag frauds. Yeah, we took a little break for a week. Life seems to happen, and when you have more to do than just a podcast, sometimes it's like, you know what? Let's just not do a podcast this week, and we'll come back stronger, better, harder, but not much longer, because I got to get out of here.
And that was this week's episode. So thanks, everyone. And we'll see you again in another 4 weeks.
Yeah, cheers for tuning in. Well, speaking of, we are going to take a little break. I think we'll, maybe 2 weeks off. I am adhering to the Formula One.
My dogs aren't happy with that news.
Ooh. I'm adhering to the Formula One shutdown policy, and I'm going to go on holiday while I can. But I think we'll come back for a Zandvoort preview episode. So this week, we're gonna kind of go through. I'll quickly touch on Hungary stuff. A little bit happened. Maybe there's a couple things we're talking about. Then we'll do a little bit of a news roundup because there's some interesting stuff going on. There's an exodus of personnel at Alpine at the top of the food chain. We'll have a little check in with Danny Ric. Not a whole lot to say there. Ferrari talking about driver contracts, and there's some rumors that Aston Martin have gotten hey guys, can you stop doing that? It's not strictly legal, but that's all rumors and nonsense, so we're gonna basically lean into it completely fraudulently.
Yeah. Slap them down with that technical directive.
Yeah, whatever that is. And the thing about technical directives is we don't see them unless somebody in the press leaks one. Like the technical directives, like all the technical documents that go out on the rules and checks and forms all every weekend, technical directives don't live anywhere.
We've both worked in F1. I was there for 6 years. I never saw one. I don't know. Did you ever get to see one? I never even saw one. Or did you?
Because I was in the engineering group. They would come around to that because a lot of the technical directives had to do with vehicle dynamics or aerodynamic performance topics. So those were kind of important to know that. And then here's a funny story. Here's how technical directives work. And we've talked about this before. And then I'll get into the rest of what we're doing. But the ADHD is in full tilt, in classic swing. Technical directives go something like this. A team will write a letter to the FIA to say, "Dear FIA, we would like to inquire if we did this thing, which sounds a little bit like cheating, is cheating." And the FIA replies, "Dear ma'am or sirs, thank you for your polite inquiry, we acknowledge that you don't think that anybody else is doing this. Ferrari, Red Bull, Aston Martin. We don't think anybody's doing this. But if you were to try this, this would not be technically legal. And here's our stance on these three variants of that topic. And then they kind of publish that. And that's a notice to those teams to be like, don't do that. And they're like, oh, shit, we just lost half a second the lap. So that's how that works. That's how technical directives work.
Dear FIA, can you confirm that we are in a gray area? Thanks.
Mm. But you never ask on behalf of yourself. You say, you know, you have
theoretically, if we were to do this.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so that's that. We'll talk about the Spa Grand Prix, the fantastic sprint weekend. And then, yeah, like I said, after the little break, I think we'll take 2 weeks off and come back. We'll have some new episodes, maybe some guests. We haven't had a guest in ages. It's been a hot minute.
It's because everyone hates us.
Yeah, it is. Now, we've got a list of people that are like literally dying to be on the podcast. And we said,
yeah, Red Bull HR.
Yeah, exactly.
Red Bull legal team, Red Bull catering.
Yeah. Christian, Helmet. To be fair, Helmet's made a couple of appearances on podcasts recently, which I was like, there's no fucking, like, that being said, you know, he's gotten rid of the Nokia brick phone. He's got an iPhone now.
Wow. Hot news, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, he doesn't have the Nokia brick anymore. He's got a real iPhone.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
It is a time. But anyway, shall we get back into the Hungarian Grand Prix? Quick review. We got a couple points on this.
Hit it.
What did you think? All right, first thing first. Hungary was the introduction of the alternative tire allocation, which is basically you've got a lot less tire sets. A normal race weekend, you've got 2 hards, 3 mediums, and 8 softs. For the alternative allocation weekends, you have 3 hards, 4 mediums, and 4 softs. Half the number of sets of softs. And the, one of the restrictions is in qualifying in Q1, you've got to use hards. In Q2, you have to use mediums. And in Q3, you have to use softs. So basically, they've cut out a shitload of soft tires to save on tires, which realistically, this makes sense. But what did you think about that? Did you have any... did it make any difference to you for the weekend?
Yeah, so like the end product in terms of spicing up qualifying, I enjoyed that. I think it worked quite well.
Absolutely.
Granted, Hungary can be a bit of a funky track for qualifying with track evolution and things like that. So how much of that was down to the tyres, I'm not really sure. I would like to see us try it again. I imagine they're going to try it again. I don't actually know off the top of my head if we're doing this again.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not sure exactly, but yeah.
But it did make Friday the most dullest. I mean, Fridays aren't exactly exciting as it is.
No.
Everyone just basically sat in the garage and said, nah, we're not going to use these tyres. We'll do a couple of laps and that'll be it. So it sort of wrecked the Friday to spice up the Saturday.
Yeah, but I think, on one hand, if teams are out on a track, that's a loss for the fans. Honestly, if you're at the track, if you're watching on TV, that's a loss for the fans. And interesting, most of the teams, they only ran 2 softs the entire weekend up until they got to qualifying. And in Q3, they ran 2 sets of new softs if they made it to Q3. But as a result of this, most of the teams that made Q3 only started with 1 new hard and a couple of used mediums and softs and maybe 1 used hard, I believe. But it seemed okay. Like you said, like it brought in a little bit of unpredictability. To your point, we also get those kind of unpredictable sessions when you have high track evolution, which signed me up for more of those, honestly.
Yeah, I'd like to see it on a different track before we give our official seal of approval, because clearly that's what the FIA are waiting for, what we think on this podcast. Yeah.
Stefano called me yesterday and I was just like, mate, I'm not sure. We're like, we need a little bit more data, you know? And he's like, shut the fuck up. And I was like, yeah, this call never happened.
Yeah, we are the F1 shadow government.
Our buddy Rory Talks F1 says Monza is the next alternative tire allocation weekend.
Thank you. Which
could be a great shout. Qualifying.
If,
go on.
I was going to say, if you want to come and correct us live on air, which we do need people to do because we are shit at this, How do people do that, Blake?
Well, usually we stream this on twitch.tv/BRRRAKE. So that's, we usually do the podcast on my Twitch. We're toying about doing this on the YouTube channel in the future. So if you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube later, or you're on Spotify, come over to our Twitter and let us know what you think. Like, if you could tune into this live, where would you be likely to tune into it? But otherwise, we'll see you there. But yeah. So qualifying in Hungary, Hamilton takes pole. A sniff ahead of Max. Like, they were neck and neck. And it looked, going back and looking at it, neither of them really got their lap together. Hungary's a tricky track. You've got this long turn one into this weird turn two, high speed, bouncy turn four, turn five combined, lots of low speed S's, and then a pretty fast medium speed, lots of long combined corners at the end of the track where your tires are overheating. You're trying to gauge your tire prep and warm up, which when you go two hards, two mediums, two softs, usually you go medium, soft, 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 soft for the rest of qualifying. So yeah, I'm into it. The race for me was okay. The best part about the race was Terry Crews was on the grid with Red Bull, and Jack from Red Bull on marketing did a little interview with him and talking about the steering wheel. Can I just get a 99 if you're driving in your car? Just shout 99. Or yeah, if you're on Twitter, let's see some of that.
Oh, your dog, yeah, even the dogs are giving us a 99.
I love it. Not 6.9, it's 9.9. They're different. The race tire compounds, just a step softer than last year, which was good. Here's a good one. Qualifying for Hamilton, Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Zhou.
Yeah.
Guanyu Zhou was in P5, and then he has an engine issue on the start and bozos back to P16. And what else happened as a result of that? It was almost comical, and it kicked off a whole civil war, this next thing.
Yeah, the French Civil War of 2023 occurred. The Alpines, I think Zhou went into the back of Danny, which is a great start for him for his first race. That's just what you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which then tipped into one of the Alpines, and then the Alpines basically took each other out, and it was just like, great. Nice. Well done. Well done, Alpine. Not their fault. Not their fault, but still.
Wow, dude. And like, just to cut through the race, like a race pace, fastest driver per team looked like Verstappen, Hamilton, and Norris, kind of in that order. But obviously Norris finishes ahead. Norris is on the, I'm just losing my mind from it. Yeah, Norris is P2 in that race. But realistically, Hamilton losing out on the start, he goes from pole and gets mugged back to P4 and behind Verstappen and the two McLarens. And he just, like, when you're not that much faster than those cars and you get bozoed like that, like, it's going to be difficult to come back through. He stops early and comes back. His final stint was fucking rapid, though. So
yes, I'm gonna brace yourselves, everyone. Sit down and buckle your seatbelts. We're gonna actually have some semi-competent technical analysis here on the show. It only happens once every month. But something I've picked up on is the Mercedes is absolutely dog shit on high fuel. And as soon as
as soon as
you burn off a bunch of fuel, it's not a rocket ship, but it improves drastically. And we see that in the final stints at the end of races where they just all of a sudden start flying. It's where they've burned the fuel off.
It's interesting because I think looking at Spa, it's not massively dissimilar to that. Like, but Lewis is pretty fast all weekend in Spa. But in the past, we do see like the final stint. It's like, aha, they're alive. Finally. It's like, where have you guys been? We've been waiting for you. But it's good to see that. So, two Red Bulls and Norris on that podium. But Norris, Piastri got the better of Norris on the start, coming up from P4 to P2. And then, unfortunately, he gets undercut. He gets undercut by Norris. Norris had a banger of an in-lap and an out-lap. And that's the way it goes sometimes. And then, had a little bit of wheel banging between Perez and Piastri, and Piastri was dog slow after that. But to be fair, in the middle of his second stint, Piastri was falling away as well from Norris. Norris had quite a bit better pace.
I think, and like it, after the race, did Piastri not say he had damage somewhere? Which I feel,
I'm not sure. And this is a couple of weeks ago now. I'm not sure if the damage came from the wheel banging with Perez exit 2 into 3. But yeah, not too sure on that. But yeah, unlucky for him. But like, honestly, Piastri, his sense of humor fucking kills me, bro. I love it. Well, what else we got in that race? What else is going on in Hungary? Russell shit Saturday, drives from P18 to P7th, and he was promoted to 6th after Leclerc got a speeding in the pit lane. Oof. Oof. So,
what, 6th after finishing 18th? Pretty good going.
Yeah, decent recovery as well. But Perez had a recovery drive and from what, back in P8, 9 and finishing P9 up to P3. Yeah. Not too bad. But Lewis was coming for him at the end of the stint on the final race. And then Ricardo does a 40 lap stint on the mediums with pretty low deg so he can finish P13.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So I suppose Danny Rick is what we need to talk about, don't we? Because Hungary was his first race back. And I was, I think I upset a lot of Danny Rick fans on Twitter because I do this quite often. And I don't mean it as an insult, but I didn't think Danny Rick would just jump in a car and be competitive against Tsunoda. And like I say, it's not a dig against Danny Rick. It's just
Danny Rick's facts.
Danny Rick's been out of a car for so many months and it's a new car. Yeah. It's a new team for him, if you know what I mean. But very impressive, Dan. Well done. Big yourself up.
Let's that's kind of all I've got for Spa. For Hungary, the podium for Verstappen, Norris, Perez. And let's talk about that quickly. McLaren look to be on a resurgence. They've had several events in a row, challenging for podiums, great qualifying performances. And we'll see a little bit more of that in Spa, at least in qualifying. But Danny Rick, let's check in with him. We're two races in. He got the better of it in Hungary. How did he do in Spa compared to Tsunoda? He got into Q2. Tsunoda didn't make it to Q2 in this session. So it's the verdict's out, man. Like, I don't feel like we need to put Dan in a box right now?
Nah.
Faster, slower? I mean, let's put it this way. You're driving an AlphaTauri, which is not a particularly fast car right now. So you're not fighting for points. You're lucky to get points. I don't think he's made any howlers. He kept it clean after getting smashed in the ass on the race start, so that's good.
Yeah. And in Spa, P9 in the sprint. Anyway, he's done a good job, and welcome back, and GG's.
Yeah. So we've got, let's call Hungary wrapped up. I'm sure we've missed a lot of really important stuff, but we foreshadowed something else. We've got the Alpine French Civil War, the mass exodus from the team. And going back to Hungary, what did they announce? There was an announcement in Hungary that sounded like somebody was getting a job promotion, which also means they got fired.
Laurent Rossi got the Martin Whitmarsh treatment of being buried at the bottom of the MTC lake. So Laurent Rossi's now been wheeled into a cupboard somewhere in Viri and told it's a job promotion and he's never allowed out the room.
It's a special projects cupboard, which is basically where they keep a bunch of old dusty stuff. But this seems like a match lighting off something that's been going for a while and smoldering in the background, and they've just poured a little bit of kerosene on it. In Spa, we've had basically the announcement of 3 more departures from the Instone outfit. What do we got?
Otmar got booted out after being there for what?
How long was he there?
Two seasons?
A season and a half, yeah.
Yeah, well done. Great. Alan Permain, we also lost him, but he has been part of Instone for like what?
Since 1989.
Yeah. So, I mean, to show him the door after that amount of time is rough.
So, Otmar, formerly team principal of Force India turned Racing Point turned Aston Martin, and then he went to Alpine after, you know, the Strolls were like, right, we'll get Whitmarsh in and we'll have this sort of the shuffle and other people do these other jobs. Otmar, you've been here long enough. Thank you for keeping this team that I used to work at, keeping it from letting Vijay destroy the team, whatever he was doing. Or yeah. So Otmar kept that one afloat, and he goes to Alpine and he gets a year and a half, and then he gets the axe. And then Alain Permain's been there since 89, and he was their sporting director. I'm not really sure.
But someone has just reminded me in the chat, we did get the quite possibly the best F1 quote in ages from Otmar, who said, getting 9 women pregnant doesn't give you a kid in 1 month.
Yeah.
And if anyone has any fucking clue what he is on about, then please let me know. Because he said, oh, as the old saying goes, who's ever fucking said that? I've never heard that in my life. What are you talking about?
I somebody else mentioned it. It has to do with the divisibility of work. And it's like, you know, some things have a fixed time scale and you can't do more work to make it work faster. So my plan is not to get anyone pregnant because I don't want kids because they sound expensive.
Oh, apparently it's a Warren Buffett quote, which makes sense why I've never heard it, because I have the financial prowess of a breeze block.
Can you give us some financial advice?
Yeah, I'm the poorest rich person that I know.
Yeah. So, Alpine, in their infinite wisdom, have appointed Bruno Famin as the interim team principal. But let's talk about that. And rumors, we'll come back to him, but rumors have it that Binotto is coming back to look after Alpine. That's who they're thinking about.
I don't know, man. Surely Ferrari, when they said to Binotto, they were like, Binotto, it's time for you to step aside or whatever. Surely they gave him a massive envelope full of cash and then a little contract in there that said, by the way, you can't, there's a non-compete clause for a year. Surely.
I mean, if at the end of the year, that'll come to that. So maybe that's why our mate Bruno Famin is holding that post until the end of the year. But interestingly, Vasseur, who is now the team principal of Ferrari, was the team principal of the Instone outfit, which is Alpine, in 2016. And he got booted by a bit of Bull and Co. and the goons. But let's talk about the guy that is now the interim team principal.
Bruno.
Here's what Alain Prost said about him. And so in early 2022, Alain Prost was dismissed from the team along with Marcin Bukowski. And that was linked to like Otmar coming in. And it sounds like Rossi was like, right, can you guys leave? We're going to bring in Otmar and he's going to take over this thing. And then Rossi fell out with Otmar recently. But Alain Prost was like their advisor, like Niki Lauda was to the teams. And then this is what this is what Alain Prost had to say about Laurent Rossi first. Laurent Rossi is the finest example of the Dunning-Kruger effect, that of an incapable leader who thinks he can overcome his incompetences by his arrogance and his lack of humanity towards his troops. He thought that he had understood everything from the start when he was totally mistaken. I love this team, and seeing it in this state today saddens and distresses me.
Yeah, the translation of that is Laurent Rossi fucked around and found out.
Yeah, he fucked around and found out he was. Then he got stuck in the broom cupboard. And then I did a little bit of digging about who Bruno Famin is, because I have no idea who he is. And there was an interview with him on Sky. And if you look that up on Twitter, it's really impressive because he talks about projects and alignment of projects and how people weren't aligned with the projects and the projects weren't aligned with the people. And he says that about 30 times, by which I forced sand into my eyes.
It's time to play buzzword bingo.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking hell. So he's the VP of Alpine Motorsport. He was a designer at Peugeot Sport in the 90s. He did some other shit. He became the technical director of Peugeot Sport in 2005. And then director of Peugeot sport in 2012, I believe. And then he joined the FIA in 2019, as everybody do. They just joined the FIA and they're like, you can come here, do fuck all, and we'll pay you a load of cash because you're one of our mates.
Yeah, we're just waiting for that call up.
And then he was the CEO in charge of engine development for Alpine from February 2022, the great Alpine performance Renault engines. Now he's the VP of Alpine Motorsport. And yeah, like honestly, if Otmar got sacked because he hasn't turned the team around in a year and a half, you might as well sack Bruno Femming because like Renault engines will never not be shit. I'm sorry. They're never not going
to
be shit.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, it's easy to meme on it and say, Renault engines are shit. But it's true. And it's very easy to figure out why. And I think we've spoken about this before. Renault is partially owned by the French government. And trying to convince the French government, or any government for that matter, it's like, hey, our Viry engine development center, it's pretty old. You know, we could probably invest a few millions into it.
I don't think any Dino 9's still leaking. Fuck.
Yeah, I don't think any government.
Please fix Dino 9.
No government's going to turn around and say, yeah, sure, fuck it. Have some money for your F1 team. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Our buddy Formula Racers on Twitter this morning posted something. Since 2016, how many team principals has Enstone had?
Well, it's more than I've had children, which is a pretty impressive feat. So it's got to be more than three, surely.
It's four now. So Frederic Vasseur, 16. Cyril Abitbol, 2017 to 2020. Safnauer, 22 to 23. And now we've got Bruno Femming. I'm probably butchering his name, but I really don't give a fuck.
yeah, I'm sure he listens and he's very offended we've lost a listener. Yeah. However, one listener that I want to shout out and I would like to bring back is Cyril Abitbol. Bring him back. Bring him back.
I have a funny feeling him and another mate got shown the door because they were doing bad stuff. I don't think he'll be back.
There you go. A vicious rumor started from the Engine Braking podcast there. He was doing bad stuff.
I'm pretty sure he won't be back and he will never be invited back.
Yeah. And you know, we can't say what that bad stuff is because that'd be very irresponsible of us, but I'll say it and I'll just say domestic terrorism. So there you go.
Yeah. let's move on. Speaking, we mentioned our boy Frederic Vasseur, and I'm sure he's been balls deep in this next topic. Oof.
Is this the ongoing saga of Ferrari driver contracts?
It is.
And the game of how much into self-inflicted pain is Charles Leclerc not king-shaming?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. Hey, real quick, while we're on this topic, it's a serious topic, no king-shaming. If you want to drive for Ferrari and destroy your mental health because that's what gets you off.
Have at it.
Yeah. Yeah, so the rumor, of course, this is all we have to work with is rumors, is Leclerc's looking at another 2 or 3 years of pain and suffering. 2 years takes them through the end of this regulation cycle, and 3 years takes them into the 2026 power units, the first year of that, which, yikes. Sainz wants the same deal, but Frederic Vasseur said you're going to have to stop driving into other people and blaming other people on your shit race starts, you fucking bozo.
You know,
we'll come back to that.
Yeah, all right. We'll come back to that.
But let's say hypothetically that you do not renew Carlos Sainz's contract. Who are you putting in that second Scuderia Ferrari?
I'm trying to think of who they got in their engine program. Their young driver program that's up and coming. And I'm probably having a bozo moment, but I can't actually think of a single one.
Well, our buddy Yepa from the chat, if you're in the chat, I'm the secret ingredient. Yepa put a really good Twitter tweet just rounding up the silly season, who's available and who's not available. Type your Twitter username and everybody can check it out real quick. But we're talking about Mick Schumacher. I don't think so. Charlotte's suggesting Ollie Bearman, but he looks like he needs some more time in F2. The Red Bull aren't going to let go of Lawson.
I will now. I know we're talking about who you're going to replace Carlos Sainz with, so I'm going to completely answer the opposite and say, I don't think they get rid of Sainz, and I'll tell you why. And I think it's because the Santander money is too good to turn down.
Yes. And if you're wondering, Yeppe is JEPPE_OLESEN. And he's got a very comprehensive summary of the silly season. And I totally didn't agree with him or try to ratio him today. So I feel like that's a little bit weird. But yeah.
And Daniel Ricciardo, people are saying that's a good one.
I don't know. I don't see. Yeah. I think Sainz is sticking around as.
If you're Charles Leclerc, right, and when you're not too busy putting out piano songs on Spotify, why would you want to stay at Ferrari? I understand there's a lot of heritage and it's a Ferrari and all that jazz, but after the amount of pain that Charles has gone through, he's got a much stronger mental fortitude than I have, because I would just turn around and say, fuck this, I'd rather drive a Haas at the minute than deal with this shit show year after year.
Well, I'll tell you why I wouldn't drive a Haas when we get to the Spa bit. But All right. Let's turn this on its head again. If you're Charles Leclerc and you're not driving a Ferrari and you can't go to Red Bull, where are you going? Mercedes or McLaren? Where would you go?
I'd make a play for either Mercedes or McLaren, because Lewis is out of contract. You know, we don't really know what he's doing, and he's not getting any younger. You know, he will leave eventually. Why not sort of turn around and say, hello, Mercedes? McLaren, I don't see that opening. Piastri is doing well. Lando, it would obviously move on somewhere, but where? And what, like a swap between Charles and Lando?
Exactly. I'm agreeing with Yeppe in chat right now. I think Lewis is doing another stint. He can't dip out. And his best hope, honestly, is 2026. And if 2026 is shit, dip out after that. You know, if Mercedes don't turn around a good power unit in 26 and the chassis still dog, it's time.
Can we have that one more time, please? That was really good. That was not a dog in my background. That was a bark straight from Blake there.
Woof. Woof. But anyway, speaking of teams that are not doing too hot right now, some, like, the rumor mill is going, and nothing's official, that Aston Martin have had a technical directive happen and they're fucked.
Yeah, commiserations.
So what looked like them upgrading and going the wrong direction could have been them rectifying things that were found to be relatively unsavory, potentially, or a combination of both, or they had to stop doing something. So,
yeah, I don't know. I think this just stinks of Red Bull have won the last 12 races in a row. We're bored. What shit can we throw around and make stick?
But if you're Aston, you would definitely keep the burner on, man. There's none of the rumors have been substantiated, and I haven't seen anything, but I think we'll probably get some more stuff coming out after the break.
Aston Martin are investing an incredible amount of money into their team, which is great, but they still have issues with in-season development, and that's something that, you know, they will catch up on eventually. You can't just instantaneously spend money and improve that. That's a process you have to go through. They built a fast car at the start of the season. I just think they've been outdeveloped by stronger teams.
The thing is, though, from what I can see, is they're falling away relative to everyone at quite a harsh step, which, on the face of it, to me, I agree with you. Teams are still developing, but I don't think everybody's found 0.5% over the period of three races collectively, like the top 3, 4, 5 teams.
I mean, McLaren have.
Yeah, McLaren have. Ferrari haven't. They're about the same gap to Red Bull. Mercedes are about the same gap to Red Bull. Yes, they keep having good results, but if you look at the offsets and pace, I think I wouldn't be surprised. Let's put it that way. I would not be surprised.
Are you backing this rumor then? Is that what you're saying?
No. You know what? Can I put a hand on a Bible or something? I don't have a
put
Bible.
Put it on your YouTube play button. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do it. Fuck that.
All right.
Why don't we, so we'll get some more about that and keep an eye on Twitter. If anything happens over the break, Dan's going to like keep you guys in the loop because I'm totally getting off Twitter over shutdown. That fucking dumpster fire.
You can't call it Twitter anymore. It's X.
That's Twitter. Fuck you. You're dead to me. Fuck all right, now the podcast. You, Elon. Elon Musk is an absolute geezer in the worst way possible.
I'd have gone with Bellend, but yeah.
Speaking of absolute geezers, real quick, can we give a quick shout out to our dude, Jake Dennis, for wrapping up the Formula E World Drivers Championship? Dude, honestly, could not have happened to a nicer fucking dude, more talented, more versatile. That they locked that in. Envision have locked in the Constructors Championship in Formula E. I've got a couple buddies that work there, and they're fucking killing it. So they beat the factory team. Jake beats the factory team to the drivers, and then Envision beat the factory Jaguar team to the Constructors. What a time.
Get wrecked.
Get wrecked, nerds. Yeah, go on, Jake, though. Huge congratulations to both of them. Let's move on to the Spa race event. What was your favorite thing about the Spa race event?
The Grand Prix. Finished.
Yeah, honestly, same. My least favorite, that it was a fucking sprint weekend. I know I gave them the benefit of the doubt earlier in the season. I was like, but it's more fun for fans if they're track. Honestly, fuck sprint race weekends. I'm sorry.
I want a strong conversation with whoever sat down, looked at the calendar and thought, hey, Spa would be a really good circuit for a sprint race. Who thinks that the Spa would be good for a sprint race? No one. We knew it before the weekend came. As soon as they announced it, we all said, sprint race at Spa? That's shit, mate. That's bollocks.
Yep.
And it was bollocks. So, well done.
Yeah. Basically, fuck sprints. I can't tell you what makes a good one or not a good one. What makes a good sprint race? Nothing. Nothing makes a good sprint race. Even like a wet, dry, we'll get into it in a minute. Let's get into the event, shall we?
Sure.
One of the best things about Spa is leaving the track on Sunday night, hauling ass from the paddock with a police escort and a convoy to get to the airport on time. So you leave the circuit, you go up through the hills, through the sticks. You've got a police guy on a motorcycle, and he's a bit of a geezer. He's definitely Belgian as fuck. He's got a mustache. He's got a mustache, and he is driving his motorcycle, and you guys are following him, cutting through traffic, and he's getting fuckers out of the way, and he's pulling people over in the middle of the road saying, fuck off, the convoy's coming through, and he would drive through. He's a bit of a dude, an absolute geezer, and usually, yeah. It's like, I'd like to have a beer with this guy, but he's my police car driver. And it's good fun. It's good fun, that.
Yeah, I thought you was going to say the best bit about Spa is the complete inability to create a correct drainage channels and the correct inability to produce stairs that don't turn into ice rinks when it rains.
Oh, the death stairs that go up from the hospitality area to the paddock. So the paddock is down a level. And the paddock is up half a level, situated in turn one. And those metal stairs are the death stairs. I think anybody here that's involved in sports cars or been in the paddock before has probably almost had a death on those steps.
Yeah, Lance Stroll, he had a near-death experience going on to his, wasn't the Aston Martin hospitality? He went arse over tit, didn't he? Bless him.
Yeah.
We're getting into the weeds now, but team issued kit, right? We used to get those, the Puma trainers, and they had like a special material on the sole so they wouldn't slip when you trod on oil in the garage, right? And they were pretty good. They worked pretty well. Even those could not handle the fucking stairs of death. There's just something about them.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home.
To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So, yeah.
I love it. But let's get into the event. So it's a sprint weekend. So you've got one session to set up your car, free practice one. And guess what?
It's wet.
It's fucking wet. So you get one session and then you go into Parc Fermé, which is French for don't touch your fucking car. And you can touch the front wing angle and that's about it. It was great. There wasn't a whole lot of running either. People were just like, ah, fucking hell. And the thing that sucks about sprint weekends, if you're an engineer, all you do is you set up the car for the first session and then you're just fucking operational for the rest of the week. It's like, yep, we'll put these tires on the car and we'll go drive. And if you're Haas, you'll definitely fuck your drivers out of both qualifying sessions. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We're almost there.
Yeah, I just... Look, some people like sprints. That's fine. You know, in the same way that some people like Nickelback. I mean...
I used to respect the people that like sprints. I just don't see it. There's nothing in it. Honestly, I didn't... I said I wasn't going to watch Saturday. I just do the data analysis for my newsletter at buymeacoffee.com/break, which is pretty dope. I had some guy email me and tell me that the reports don't come out soon enough. That's why he's canceling. I'm like, dude, if you want me to just copy and paste a bunch of fucking graphs and do a document and send them out after the session, I'll do it. But that's the reason why you subscribe to this, because you actually get somebody telling you and explaining it to you, not just copying, pasting templates that somebody else made for you.
Yeah, fucking and it's working out quite well for you, because I won't reveal the name, but there is a high-profile subscriber that you've got, isn't there?
We're not mentioning
we
that.
We won't mention names, but yeah, there is someone high up in the paddock that is quite interested in Blake's data.
Yeah, yeah, that was an interesting thing, but I'm not going to spoil that. It's not Dan. No, it's not Engine Mode 11.
No, I'm not fucking paying for it. You're having a laugh, aren't you?
I gave Dan a subscription to it, but... Yeah. So anyway, we go straight into qualifying, and qualifying is another intermediate to dry crossover session, switching to inters in the middle of Q2. As we were talking about Haas, Hulkenberg was knocked out in Q1 because he missed an attempt to set another flying lap at the end of the session due to pit timing, basically measuring your out lap and your in lap and your cool down lap, and they fucked it and they got him knocked out in Q1. Yeah, fucking wild. It's not the first time that happened this weekend, and I'm so annoyed. Verstappen sets a lap at the end of the qualifying on a soft. It was 8 tenths faster than anybody else on a track. It was kind of fucking wild.
I've just had a complete brain fart. This is not the session where they didn't declare it wet, even though...
No, this is the next session.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
It's a sprint shootout. Yeah, but I was confused as well. Like, they blend together because guess what? It's really interesting that you say that, because it's like there's like two of the same sessions that are slightly different, but not different enough to be fucking memorable. Yeah. Fucking. I'm with you, dude. So there's just a little roundup. Little general roundup. McLaren looked slow in a straight line. So this event, they're definitely running more downforce than usual, despite the fact that McLaren have been more competitive in terms of top speed in recent events. So their upgrades, which I've got a video coming out next week about McLaren's performance improvements, looking at the whole season, using some pretty clever shit that I'm pretty happy about. I'll share that on my Buy Me a Coffee. Ooh. And also a video coming out next week. But, McLaren, they put some more downforce on the car this weekend, and that's one of those trade-offs you usually get. Is like, it's going to be wet this weekend. You put a bit more downforce on the car and get some grip in the wet, or do you fit the fastest wing, which might be a little bit slower in the wet? But who knows? The results: Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez, Hamilton, and Sainz, Carlos. And that sets the grid for Sunday. Max also has to take a 5-place grid penalty for the gearbox, which was confirmed later in that session. So that brings us to the sprint shootout.
Oh, yeah.
Another session where they're like slightly shorter. The interesting thing, though, the only interesting thing is that since the session's shorter and the lap in Spa is so long, like the laps are like minute 46 is a fast lap. You know, you can one set of tires, fast, slow, fast, out lap, in lap at either side of that. It was an inter to dry crossover session, but the DRS was not made available in the session. And there's something like it wasn't declared wet or something else. I don't know. So they didn't declare it wet because it means that you had to adhere to the tire rules. Is that not what it was? I'm so fucking lost now.
It's some stupid nonsense where that they didn't want people sticking softs on or something, dry tires on a track that was drying, but the way it was worded meant you could still stick mediums on or something. It was basically the FIA, like, we're not going to declare it wet because you lot are going to take advantage of a loophole in the rules rather than us actually fixing our stupid fucking terminology and rules.
So I was correct. It was basically that you could pick, use whatever tire in whatever session. So that way you had to use, I believe you have to use hard, medium, soft in this format as well. And that throws all the windows out if you declare it wet. So they didn't declare it wet, but they did not enable DRS for the entire session, which looked like it shifted the order around. But before we get even further into that, Hulkenberg aborted his lap on his first set of enters. And apparently the chief race engineer was like, no, the tires are out of the window, box for a new set. So he puts a new set of enters on in order for him not to cross the line in order to be able to set a time lap. You've got to set a fucking banker in these sessions. Holy shit.
That was mine. Straight out of the F1 Manager 2023 playbook.
Yeah, I literally almost punched a hole through my screen when I saw that. I was like, you can't do that. In Q2, Stroll tries a medium at the end of the session as it's drying, and unfortunately it gets a little bit off the dry line, and four drivers didn't set a lap as a result of this: Albon, or Sargeant, Stroll, and Alonso. So Stroll knocked his teammate out for the sprint qualifying. Here's,
well done.
Did you see this? In sprint qualifying 3 at the end of the session, Russell and Hamilton start a lap line astern.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yes. And the internet burnt itself down over this.
Yeah.
So Russell is in front. He fucks it up into T1, which then basically puts him in the way of Hamilton for the majority of going up the Kemmel Straight and all that. And Russell's not inclined to move out of the way. And Russell, I'll put the blame on Russell. He screws it up for Lewis. However, the real blame here lies on Mercedes for putting them out with such a fucking small gap between them.
I think that's the risk you take. Like I think, what was the gap? Like 3 or 4 seconds or something. And when Russell goes super huge wide, Hamilton gets the toe. But looking at the lap, Hamilton didn't actually lose much from it. Let's be clear.
Didn't you put this on Twitter and end up getting cancelled for saying such thing?
I didn't get cancelled because it was it was left open enough. I'm not saying that, but long story short, Toto said that Lewis could have been on pole, and I looked at all the laps that everybody had done the entire weekend, and I was like, there's nothing that I can see that Lewis is going to find, 9/10 of a second from the lap that he set. You know, people are like, oh, but what about track improvement in Sector 1? Like, the track improvement in Sector 1 was less than 1/10. Because guess what Sector 1 is? Sector 1's a single fucking corner. Sector 3 is the exit of a high-speed corner, which is flat, and it's the bus stop. So, yeah, like, realistically, him being offline going down to Turn 5 wasn't ideal. But Lewis wasn't fast in Turn 5 at any point this entire weekend, including the race. So I'm just like, I'm not seeing it. And it's not me trying to dig on it, but it's just like one of those, when you see a really weird statement, it's like, 9 tenths off, could have been 6 tenths off. How would he have been on pole?
He's just Toto's on that PR hype.
Yeah, gas him up. And it was shit. His lap got fucked. We're never going to know what happened. But yeah, top five in the sprint shootout, Verstappen. Piastri. Piastri was absolutely mad in sector two. Whereas yesterday, on Friday, Max was insane through turn nine. But seriously, Piastri was on one. Sainz, Leclerc, and Norris. That's your top five.
I don't know. There you go. I don't know what to say. There you go.
Yeah. Let's keep going the rest of the way. The sprint race. And this was really good. The race starts on wets behind the safety car, and they basically drive around until the visibility improves so that they can put on intermediate tires. That's it. Did I mention that I hate sprint races, by the way?
No, why don't you do it again?
Yeah, I hate them. But did you see what Mario Isola said?
Well, what he said and what the internet thinks he said. So the internet thinks he said basically the wet tires are useless.
Correct.
What he actually said was wet tires are useless if you're only going to use them to follow the safety car.
Correct.
I'll be as bold as to say actually both statements are true.
Yeah, they are fucking true. Also, we didn't mention this. The FIA the other week tested the wheel guards, which were meant to prevent spray. But most of the spray comes from the diffuser blowing the water up into the air. So obviously that wasn't an issue and it deemed a failure. And at some point, Isola said, yeah, we developed some wet tires that were 5 seconds a lap faster than the previous ones, which is kind of weird because I've been at a couple of wet tire tests prior to 2022 or 2021 when I left.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think that's true. I don't think that statement is true. Yeah. But here's the solution to this. Isola proposed a super intermediate or an intermediate plus for the 2024 season. You could also just call this a usable wet tire. But to be fair, the cars are dealing with visibility issues. In Spa, they were not going to touch a visibility issue with yours. Like they're like, no, we've already had in the past. We had a fatality at the top of Arouge during the Spa 24. There was also another fatality related to visibility and high speeds. They're like, we're not touching this. We're going to wait until the spray is down and we're going to do this. And I think that was the right decision. But in the longer term, Pirelli and the FIA need to come up with a solution for visibility and a better wet tire that doesn't aquaplane as badly.
Yeah, but see, this is another one of the issues, right? So you bring in aero rules, right, that mandate that your diffuser has to be the Super Aero Slide 9000. Then you are surprised that all of a sudden spray becomes an issue. I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but I think we all saw this coming. Why didn't they? And there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, what can you do reduce spray from a giant diffuser? Nothing.
Yeah. Well, like at the end of the day, that is what it is. So if you have tracks where visibility is an issue, you cannot run in super extreme wet conditions. And I'm sure there's a lot more clever people that will figure this out. But yeah, all that to say, the race started on a tire that has been deemed useless if they won't run it because of visibility. And I don't really think that's the tire's fault. That is, as you said, a byproduct of the design, the philosophy of this regulation set. So fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't mean to be a downer, but I don't really know how you fix this. You know?
No, I don't either. You know how you fix it? You take all the distraction away from the fact that everybody pits straight off of the inters or off of the wets onto the inters. Piastri pits first. He gets ahead of Verstappen and then Max overtakes him anyway. And then you let Perez and Hamilton race and let Hamilton drive into Perez or understeer into them when Perez was falling back, and then let the internet set itself on fire again.
Yeah. GGs.
We lost a podcast listener as a result of some of my comments on this as well.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I'm surprised they stuck around this long anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, so we're down to four. Thank you, guys. We do appreciate all four of you, though.
Yeah, one of them's my nan. One of them's your dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And two of them are the blokes from Stevenage Butchers.
Yeah, my butcher as well, so we're still at five.
Ah, get in.
But yeah, so basically, Perez was falling back at 13, I think it was 13-14, and there's a door wide open, and Lewis goes for it. He gets up on the curb, and he gets a little bit of understeer. And there's some people taking a snapshot of when Lewis had corrected after he had touched. I'm like, he turned in on him. I'm like, you motherfuckers should not be let anywhere near this without two fucking brain cells to rub together to figure out that that was not Lewis turning in on him. And I feel like they gave Lewis the penalty because they retired Perez, not because of what happened there.
Yeah.
The same kind of thing was a lap one incident, Azerbaijan, Russell on Verstappen. Hole in the side pod, same level of damage, sprint race. That was deemed that. Like, if you're Lewis and you don't go for that, you're going to get... If you're Lewis, you're going for that. End of story.
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I've watched it once, so I'm not going to talk like the authority on this one, but I'm inclined to be more lenient when it's wet.
Yeah, and it's not like it was a stupid move. Perez was literally bleeding lap time there.
Yeah.
You're going for it. You're going for it. And if you touch wheels, if you touch the side of the car, so be it. I feel like the penalty was applied as a result of the DNF, not as a result of the contact from a slightly opportunistic move. I think, yeah, people are getting a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I think the two penalty points on the license as well was a bit fucking harsh. I'll have to check up on this, but I think when you get a time penalty, you automatically get points on your license. I can't remember if that's still the case, but I think that's why they ended up getting 2 points. But
that's his only 2 points, so he'll be all right.
It just seemed a bit, I don't know.
Yeah.
As a horribly biased Red Bull, I wasn't insulted by Lewis's attempt.
I'm too biased. I'm so biased that it's like reverse, and I've got this like Stockholm bias syndrome where I'm like, yeah, that was definitely right.
After this as well, where Hamilton parked his car up, the onboard camera, it was like right in front of a gate, so it looks like he just drove straight into prison.
Oh yeah, that was so funny. There's like the iron gates there.
It's like Lewis Hamilton has been sent directly to jail.
I was like, oh no, Lewis, don't do it. No, Lewis, no. Yeah, but why don't we move on to the Grand Prix event, the actual freaking race?
Why not?
Hey. Right. Well, pretty much the good thing is, since it's been wet all weekend, basically everybody has new tires. So that's good. It ends up being a mixed two-stop race with most drivers focusing on the soft tire. And looking at the stints, like people were doing about 15 to 20 laps on the soft. People towards the end of the race, you saw a lot more longer stints on the soft. The first stint, some people were hopping off of that after lap six for Ricardo, lap eight. So, I mean, the soft was okay, but if you abused it, it wasn't going to hang around too long. Yeah. Now let's get into another dumpster fire, which is there's only one answer to this dumpster fire. Race start. Let me paint the picture for you. Just close. Everybody close your eyes. Yep. Unless you're driving. If you're driving, you can keep your eyes open. But if you're driving,
I wouldn't recommend closing your eyes if you're driving.
Yeah. On the race start, both Piastri and Sainz get reasonable starts, and then Sainz locks up, and he basically has to avoid colliding into Lewis. So he's like, right, there's a gap there. I'm going to go for the gap on the apex of turn one. Well, he was, Piastri's front left wheel was about the middle of Sainz's car, and they basically both go for the spot at the apex of turn one. So Sainz's reply after the race was, not what we wanted today. A racing incident. But Oscar was too optimistic. He was never side by side, and that move would never really worked in Spa. Congrats to the team and Charles on an encouraging result. We'll keep pushing after the break. I was like, you fucking bozo.
Ah, dear.
He doesn't know how to take the L.
Mr. The new sponsor for Ferrari is Teflon, and they have been in race suit Teflon shoulders.
Yeah, just exactly. Slide it off.
It's like, nope. Nothing to do with me.
No. So, of course, the race, since we're so freaking biased, Max is up at P4 by the end of lap one. I'm pretty sure that's correct, unless my figures are wrong. And then basically everybody goes from medium to soft at that point. From soft to medium. But around lap 18, Russell starts sweating so profusely that everybody starts to experience low grip, apparently. So we get a little bit of wet track and people are like, ooh, do we stop? Ooh, we're on that medium. Maybe do we put on the soft? Oh, I don't know. And nothing really ever came of it. The only thing that happened was, our guy Lando pits off of the mediums. And then he's on a hard for a bit. Lando was the only person that fit a hard. And then he pits onto the soft during the rain and then does a 27 lap stint to the end of the soft. And where does he finish? Yeah, P7. Not a great result. What, 70 seconds near the whole lap off the lead? Nearly. Not quite.
Fucking by the end of it, mate, I think nearly everyone was a lap off the lead. Jesus Christ.
Well, no. Nobody was a lap down. Nobody got lapped. I mean, it's in a minute.
Through the mercy of Max Verstappen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The fastest race lap was Hamilton's, was a 147. Most people's fastest lap was 150. So they were all slower than that, effectively, per driver. What else is going on in this, man? I'm not going to spoil it here. But there was something seriously up with the Red Bulls during the race. And I guarantee you, as a matter of fact, that both Red Bulls left at least 20 seconds of race time on the table. And you don't need a rocket surgery degree to see it. And this has something to do with Max and GP fighting on the radio. There's a video. By the time, if you're listening or watching this podcast later, it will be out on YouTube. And if you're in the stream right now, the video will be live in about 40 minutes. So I'm not going to spoil it, but Max's and GP's conversation during the race. The video, it will be on Break F1. But yeah, that's so funny seeing Max and GP. GP's like, thank God Break is coming. Like the shutdown. I can't wait to like not have to talk to you during the race for a little bit.
I love their married couple relationship. And I love the fact that GP gives just as good as he gets back to Max. I think, was it during one of the qualifyings? He was like, Max was talking about having to do two push laps or something. And GP was like, well, yeah, then you would have run out of energy and you wouldn't like that, would you?
Yeah.
And I was just like, go on, GP.
Yeah, that was Friday, wasn't it? Yeah, because Max was basically not happy. Like all these events are blending into my head now. Max was not happy that they almost got knocked out in Q2. He was basically dead last in Q2. GP was just like, right, here, you do the run plan, you do the tires, you do the sets. And Max was like, okay. And then at the end of that, he said, I got a bit heated. It happens. But that's the whole point of the race engineers, to deal with a driver having a pissy fit. It happens. Like literally emotions are high, and that is a skill required of a good race engineer to be able to cope with that. And I think if you're a driver like Max or Lewis or anybody else, you're going to be extremely fucking demanding.
Yeah. And they have a good relationship. And it's a thing for F1 as well. I mean, there's been times when I've been trackside, stressed out my mind, trying to, you know, fix or resolve something. And I've been a bit feisty with someone that I work with or whatever. And then like two hours later, you know, we're still best of mates. It's pressure. It just happens. But we have a good enough relationship to deal with it.
Yeah. To be fair, though, like Bono is another fucking cool operator. Have you ever seen Bono flustered? He's just like, all right, mate, get on with it. The only thing that I will say is you don't have Christian Hop on the radio very often, but every now and then Bono's like, mate, I can't be fucking dealing with this right now. Toto, can you sort it out? And he's like, Lewis, drive the car. We know it's shit.
Lewis, do it now.
But like, people try to like make a big deal about that stuff. It's not a big deal. is the thing. But anyway, the Red Bulls, sandbagging or not, question mark. The video will explain everything. At the end of the race, Lewis smashes on a new midium. You know why? Because he didn't have any new softs, mate.
Ugh.
And then he puts in a very ferocious lap. His fastest lap was a 147.3. Max's fastest lap a 148.9, which was on lap 32 for Max. I don't want to be that guy, but I looked at those laps because I was like, wow, where did Lewis find all that time? It was Red Bull question mark sandbagging, and they weren't even like, they didn't even go to full energy deployment. They were clipping down. The Red Bulls were clipping down the straights. Like, just, you know, when you get to like near the end of the straight, like 100 meters, you should see the car speed dropping down because the batteries turned off. They weren't even deploying energy. They were not. I don't think Red Bull were trying, but outright, either way, that lap was pretty fucking rapid. And it was only like a second and a bit off of the qualifying lap.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I think it's also, as well, like we said earlier, the Mercedes on low fuel is a quick car.
It does get better.
Race start, high fuel, it seems to struggle.
Somebody was, and I tried to look through the data and I didn't see anything clear about it, but both Lewis and George were talking about bouncing, especially at higher fuel. So maybe when the ride height's a little bit lower with the fuel load, they're getting a little bit of that porpoising.
Yeah, porpoising. Spa's always been a bit of an outlier for porpoising.
So that's, that is an odd one. We talked about Norris's race. Alonso finishes best of the rest, just ahead of Russell and Norris. Not too exciting. In terms of pace, it's clearly Verstappen, Perez, and then Leclerc and Hamilton were about similar. Hamilton's final stint and Leclerc's, like, if you look at their stints, the only thing is at the race start, after Perez comes through, Hamilton loses quite a bit of pace. And then at that point, by virtue of losing that, he's basically just slightly out of touch with Leclerc, but matching his pace. Alonso's better than the rest of the pack, but the midfield was entertaining but completely chaotic. And then the podium, Verstappen, Perez, Leclerc, with Verstappen 22 seconds ahead of Perez and then 32 seconds ahead of Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, Max had a bit of a monster weekend, didn't he?
But somebody posted something, and it's like, casual F1 fans are going to switch off because of this dominance. And it's like, that's like, F1's always looked like this unless you get to the end of a regulation cycle. So if the sport loses fans, so be it.
Viewers may have noticed there is a bald peanut has appeared on my stream.
Hello, mate. Are you guys related?
Can you give us your opinion on the Spa F1 race, please? What did you think of it? No, you're just going to mash my keyboard instead. Okay, thanks, pal. That's really helpful. So, yeah, there you go. We got a new third host.
Yeah, I think that's what he thinks of the sprint race weekends. He's like, yeah, they're absolutely
garbage.
Garbo. Dan's kid is really cute. Oh, my God. I still don't want kids right now, though. Did he hear me? Yeah. Signs did not say that. I did not say that about Carlos Signs.
Sorry. He's just headbutting the mic now.
I love it. I love it. Dude. Dad life.
Bye.
Bye.
He left your drink. Anyway, yeah. So that's what he thinks.
Yeah, he's like, Carlos, I think, with translate, he said Carlos Sainz is a little biatch.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
So, records. Red Bull, 13 consecutive wins. Verstappen on 8 consecutive wins. If he wins in Zandvoort, he's tied with Vettel at 9 consecutive wins. And they're already breaking things, like their trophies, for the second weekend in a row.
Just for the fans.
So it was one of the mechanics last race with the team. I don't know where he's going, but they basically like grabbed him and hosed him down with the Red Bull and, you know, the team photo at the end. And they knocked over the pit board and smashed one of the trophies again. Oh, my God. That was a freaking good one.
They look god awful. Those trophies. What are they like? Yeah, there were cruise ships in Spa. Makes perfect sense.
Why were they boats, man? That was weird.
Because it was sponsored by MSC Cruises. Because the Spa region is obviously a very popular cruise destination.
Okay. Fair enough.
But yeah.
Fair enough.
There you go. So many of them, they're just smashing them for the fun now. Can't believe it.
Good job, Em. Good spot on that one. So why don't we move on? Because we haven't done this in a couple weeks. We've got 2 weekends to catch up on. We've got the section. You ready for it?
Fraud Watch.
Right. Fraud Watch is where we put somebody on blast. We've got to do Hungary and we've got to do Spa. Dan, who's on your Fraud Watch for Hungary?
A bit harsh, I think. But I'm going for it anyway. And I'm going for Gwen Yuzhou. Sorry.
I don't think it was his fault, man.
Nah, fuck it. I'm doing it. I don't care.
Lean in. Lean in. Oh, fair enough. I did this before you put that in. I gave Alfa Romeo. Really slow.
Yeah, really they've been
disappointing.
Going backwards, haven't they? So, yeah.
What about Spa? Who's your on front watch for Spa?
Sprint races. The whole concept of it at Spa.
Fuck them. Mine's going to Charles Leclerc. No, I'm just kidding. It's Carlos Sainz. You fucking bozo. only because of that tweet. Otherwise, I was like, dude, come on, own it. You fucked up the start.
It was like, remember that tweet? Was it Singapore 2018 or whatever, where Ferrari was like, what we tweeted was a factual statement of events or whatever. It was shades of that again.
Yeah, dude, that is fucking wild. Engine mode, good boy for Hungary. Who are you going for?
Hang on. We'll play it.
Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, shit. Did I not do this?
Play the bumper.
Oh, you
who's
a good boy?
I am. I'm a good boy.
Oh, yes. So, engine mode good boys, where we give somebody some props for an event. And let's go for Hungary.
I'm going for Red Bull just to break that record or equalize it at Hungary or whatever. You know, I understand, right? It's a bit boring that they've won, the first 12, 13 races, whatever it is. But I'm now leaning into it and I'm like, no, I want to see him win them all now. I just want to see how far they can go with this.
Fucking complete it, mate.
Anything less than 100% is a failure and the team is mid.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm giving mine to Pirelli because they did the alternative tire allocation. So they produced less shit tires for this race and it worked out.
I think that's fair, right?
Save the planet. Quit making crap tires. what about Spa? Who's your engine mode good boy for Spa?
Carrying on with the Red Bull theme, I'm giving it to GP for his ability to be that person in the relationship. And
he's so patient.
Yeah, and he's just so dish kind. It out as well as he takes it.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'm going to give mine. I know it didn't really work out. But Oscar Piastri's been fucking impressive. And like, I feel like now that the car's finally turning a corner, he's able to show that. Like, to be fair, McLaren have been doing an awesome job, but Lando's had some great runs as well. But Piastri is super impressive, super impressive. And I want to see nothing more than McLaren to keep improving their car because they've got two super talented drivers that deserve a top-notch piece of machinery that is high performance and well-balanced. But yeah, rookie doing, as Grim says in the chat, rookie actually doing good with a good car. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I think I maybe spoke to you about this the other day or maybe someone else. And I was like, who else has impressed as much as Oscar has in their rookie season? And I couldn't really think of anyone until I sort of went back to like Max and Lewis and things like that.
Yeah. No, nothing comes to mind. Not De Vries, that's for sure.
Oof.
So why don't we what are you doing for you're going to take a little break. Are you going to be doing any streaming or gaming? Because we've got a couple weeks of no Formula One. I'm not going to do any podcasts until then.
I don't know, because work is absolutely slamming me at the moment.
You should slam work.
I'm thinking, you know, we had this chat the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
If I could afford to quit and do this full time, I would.
Yeah. Well, basically, how much money can you afford to spend on doing this full time? Because that's what it is. It's not making money. It's burning.
Yeah. Well, yes. If you want to be like a successful streamer that earns thousands, then start with millions or however that saying goes.
Yeah, something like that. That's a race car team.
I don't know what I'm doing over the shutdown. So who knows? Maybe I might surprise some people with some stuff. But I know what we are.
Oh, hey.
I know what we are doing.
Friday.
Yeah. What are we doing Friday?
We're going to be in London at Tomo and Aldas's live event. It's going to be awesome. Matt and Tommy are going to be there. Katie Fairman's going to be there. Tomo and Aldas. Anybody else? Guests?
I'm sure there's going to be everybody there.
Yeah.
I think it's just them announced so far for some fucking odd reason they've asked us.
Yeah.
But hey, maybe me and Matty from P1 can finally unblock each other on Twitter.
But he can unblock you.
Well, yeah, sorry, he can unblock me. Let's be real.
I think so. We can sort this out. And it's
bridges will be built.
Yeah, exactly. It's for the greater good. For the greater good. I've got that Friday. So if you're going, do be sure to say hello. And then I'm going to take almost 2 weeks off and go to Greece. It's my first proper holiday since 2019. So I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm not fucking thinking about Formula One. I'm not taking my laptop. I'm going to take a black notebook and a pen to write down ideas. And I'm going to read a couple of books.
Like Adrian Newey with your notepad.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll just be drawing like kitties.
Sterling. I might take over the podcast and kick you out and do like a end of shutdown roundup of what happened.
Send it. Get a guest on.
Yeah. I'll see what Marco's up to.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'll be so pissed if you do that without me.
Trying to learn his iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. So, you guys do us a favor. Don't forget to support your local butcher. I'm going over to some mate's house and I'm pretty sure they've bought meat at Costco. Not sure that counts, but I'll scold them. I'll scold them. In the US, Costco has good meat though, or Sam's, one of those has really good meat in the US.
I thought you said Costa. I was like, how does Costa have good meat? It's a coffee shop.
Costco.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm with you now.
Yeah, everybody's saying Costco has good meat. But yeah.
Well, there you go.
You guys have a safe, if you're observing the Formula One summer holiday, be safe, have fun. Call your parents, tell them you love them, say hi if you can, and toot freaking toot.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.